I'm Jason Klom, and this is Comedy on Vinyl. The year is 1974. The album Everything You Know Is Wrong. The artist, The Firesign Theater. My guest this week, Dan Gomiller. Hi, Dan Gomiller.
Hello, Jason Klom. How are you today?
I am very good. It is pleasant to see you.
It is pleasant to visibly see your visibliss.
Visibliss.
Visibliss. It's a word.
Oh, okay. Latin? Greek?
It's kind of all of them.
Oh, it's all of them. Okay.
Yeah, it's what they call a precursor word.
Oh, sure. Those are my favorite words.
So it predates Latin
language. That's interesting. Visibliss.
I think it started as a sneeze.
They
just go,
as so
visibliss.
Many words have done.
Yes.
Dan, you haven't been on this show in, I believe, 6 years. So what's up? What's new?
Not much. Nothing's really changed.
Okay. Cool. So Dan, for those who do not know, is my best friend, and we do a podcast together called Dan and Jay's Comedy Hour. Dan was on the first several episodes that we don't speak of, that we just don't talk about. We just tell people.
It was a different time.
We've grown
as people.
Sure. Well, at least they're not as bad as one or two where I've had to go back and cut out people saying words where I'm like, I can't be associated with. I get that you were being lol so random, as the kids say, but I've had to chop those out every once in a while. Dan Gomiller. Here's the thing. I've talked a lot on this podcast and on the video series and on other shows. I don't stop talking about how the reason I got into comedy albums is because you introduced me to Weird Al's in 3D. Mm-hmm. That's come up many times. But I don't talk about it often. You introduced me to a Firesign album, which I've always thought was the one with All Hail Marx and Lennon on the cover. Maybe it was this one. All I know is I didn't get it, and I did not understand it. But if it was this one, that's weird, because I feel like this would have appealed to me. But I don't
there
know.
I think later on I got temporarily Humboldt County or something like that, too.
All right. Is this one that your dad had then, I'm assuming?
This is one that dad had. He introduced me to this at the same time he introduced me to Weird Al, basically.
Okay.
I was definitely too young to actually understand most of it.
Sure.
Like, literally, the only thing I really remembered.
Mm-hmm.
And this will tell you, like, approximately the age I listened to this at, was Bear Whiz Beer.
Yes.
Straight from the Mountain.
Yeah, which I always thought was funny. It was a thing you would quote to me, and I was like, I don't know what that's from, or I don't get it, and I never remembered. But now I get it. It's funny. They actually did make a Bear Whiz Beer for a brief period of time. A company did. Mm-hmm. I can't remember which beer company it was. So that's how you processed it as a child. You're just like, some of this makes sense.
Some of it is just overtly funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Well, like, that's the thing with Firesign is, I don't know, like, it would have taken a lot of, like, the obviously funny stuff for me to get it, because it took me listening to stuff actively for this show to sort of understand what was happening and understand.
Yeah, and it's how they, like, how this one's written, and a lot of them are done. Mm-hmm. It's not, hey, here's a sketch, mm-hmm. here's a sketch. Here's a sketch.
Mm-mm.
It's they do. It's they're all events.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of their things is an event. I've since when we were in Seattle found a bunch of their vinyls, so I've been listening to some of those as well.
Oh, okay.
And it's just like, I'm like, oh wow, okay. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I recognize this style. I honestly did not remember the majority of this LP.
Yeah.
But I definitely remembered the style.
Yeah.
I definitely feel like I was heavily influenced later in life by what I had heard.
Uh-huh.
This actually reminds me of, and I know that I think you had found one of those where, like, we were where Sean and I were doing, like, a radio show.
Yeah.
And it was like the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically this.
Holy shit.
We were definitely influenced by this when we did that.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Was your dad the kind of, I mean, I can't tell. Would he have had this album memorized, or was he just more like?
He was always high, so I have no idea.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. Was he like, hey, here's a funny bit, or there's a funny bit, or is he just like, you should listen to this?
I'm looking at the record. The Bear Was Beer part, what I remembered was I just went up to talk to him about something, mm-hmm. and that was the part it was on.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, I think, why I remembered that, is I heard that while standing in the doorway talking to him, or was going to talk to him, but I listened to that instead. But then I did listen to this record later, like years later, in my younger teen times.
Sure.
But I still really didn't remember the specifics, but I'm pretty sure it informed me.
Did it take until you're roughly this age to finally be like, oh, there's a lot that I definitely didn't get?
Oh, well, I don't think I've listened to this particular album since I was a young teenager.
Okay, well, there we are. That'll do it. I mean, because obviously I get it all. This is easier to follow for me than some of their other records, I will admit.
That's true. That's probably why they made a movie of it.
Probably, yeah, which is that is a DVD you can buy now, but it's also, for whatever reason, up on YouTube. I mean, because everything's on YouTube. But
yeah, they made it in 1975, according to the end credits.
That makes sense. Yeah, they went and they dubbed, not dubbed, they used their own album, cartoon style, as the soundtrack for a video, a film, an actual film.
Yeah.
I noticed,
when I saw that at first, I'm like, I didn't know that they had done that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I was just searching up because I wanted to find some things that I could reference while we're talking, because I've got a terrible memory.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they talk, notes are just not possible.
No.
No. And so I stumbled on that. And so instead of just listening to the album, I watched the movie.
Okay. That makes sense. It's not the same as, like, if you want to compare them to a contemporary, which would have been Python, which for us, it's just like, oh, somebody's talking like this. It's very easy to sit there and remember the things they're saying, and because it's very back and forth, strict sketch. That is not what Firesign ever is. I was trying to think of it today. I don't know that I can call them sketch comedy anymore. The more I listen to them, it's like, it's not, because a lot of it's rooted in improv.
Yeah.
And some of it seems like we'd have to ask our good friend Taylor how much of, and I'll ask Phil when we cover this on the show at some point, but some stuff just feels so heavily improvised that I'm like, I will have trouble believing it's scripted until he insists to my face that it's scripted.
Sorry, just so some water.
How dare you, Dan? Jesus Christ. Yeah, I don't know. You were going to say something about, about watching it. I did flip through very quickly and got to one part that, there's a bit where Ben Franklin says something to the effect of, like, make cars. And instead he, like, mimes and clearly says roll craps instead, which is something I really need to ask them about as to why Peter Bergman changed that line in the physicality of it, but they left the original audio in. I want to know what that gag is, because it's too dense. This is the problem with Firesign. It's too dense.
It's very dense. I mean, one of my favorite lines, this is another one that as a kid I would not have understood, but now I absolutely do, is when they refer to Benjamin Franklin as the best president we've ever had that was never a president. It's amazing.
It's so good. I don't think and I feel like it's a line I've definitely heard, but not on here. So some, you know, it's one of those that I feel like ekes into the consciousness quickly.
Yeah.
The line that stood out to me for some reason is right at the end of one of the interviews where it's fading out, and the last thing you hear Peter Bergman say is, "Ever been to the Piss Fest, Bob?" I think it's Peter Bergman who says that, and it's just, "Ever been to the Piss Fest, Bob?"
Because they have the news anchors and they do the whole fade out thing.
Mm-hmm.
But
you can barely hear it happen, but I've looked it up and it is memorable enough to some people that is one of those things that they like to.
And there's a lot of stuff like in the background too that just, they love having the background stuff going on.
And some of the sketches, again, we're talking about obviously generally what Firesign does, but like the one sketch where he's the main, sorry guys, I'm so terrible with names, especially since there's so many characters on here. But Dr. Happy Harry Cox Jr., who is he's got a conspiracy theorist radio show, is the conceit of the album.
Mm-hmm.
Although that's not all that happens on it, because channels change, things happen. But he's talking to one of the characters who, if I'm not mistaken, is played by Phil Proctor. And at one point he's like, hold, and I believe he's telekinetic, or no, he can speak to you through your mind. Whatever the word for that is.
Oh, the guy that was in the box?
Yes, and then all of a sudden he's on the TV.
Yeah.
And then,
well,
so
he thought, yeah, he's talking to him over the phone. Yep. He's a psychic. He's does like magic tricks, all this stuff, and he's in a box.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why and then he just moves to the TV.
Then he just moves to the TV, and how do you do that? Oh, just...
I don't know. That's what that's one of the few notes I took. Is I just love how they're like, we're not going to explain this.
Do you want to, because I'll bet you tracked it better than I did, tell people the rough plot of the album? Why don't we start there or middle there? We're 10 minutes.
Yeah,
in.
So we got Cox, who is talking, you know, he's got this show and he's talking about how everything he knows is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about all these different things, which a lot of the things he mentions at the start do make their way in
mm-hmm.
to the actual storyline.
Yeah.
But basically, he's saying aliens are real mm-hmm. and they live in Arizona. They live like Native Americans, and then they turned people into aliens. Meanwhile, a comet had crashed through the Earth.
Right. Right.
So that's a kind of a B plot going on
mm-hmm.
where everyone's like talking about the comet. This one guy's like, he's having a fire sale because his building's actually on fire from the comet.
Mm-hmm.
And then a Evel Knievel type guy. It was a really poorly done modification of Evel Knievel.
Shit,
it was like Reval Benevil or some weird uh-huh. thing like that.
Uh-huh.
Like, they didn't even try with right. that one, which I thought mm-hmm. made it even better,
mm-hmm.
especially because they've got so many other weird goddamn names that they went through. But yeah, so he's going to basically jump into the hole.
Yes.
And he brought a parachute in case he goes through the Earth and comes out the other side. He needs a parachute to land. Or he might land in the sun that's in the middle of the Earth.
That's right, yeah. He says something in effect, I'm going to jump in the biggest goddamn hole you ever seen. Something like that, right? Rebus Cannabis, that's his
Rebus
name.
Cannabis. That's
which now name. Makes me realize Rebus and Cannabis is kind of cannabis. So I'm now realizing, looking at it spelled out, it's almost cannabis.
Yeah,
so,
I'm sure that's on purpose.
Fucking nerds. Jesus Christ.
Because that's the whole B plot with Benjamin Franklin, founding mm-hmm. fathers and all that, is that they did drugs.
Yes. Yes.
And Franklin was our biggest hophead, as they called it.
Which, by the way, is like this. They're using library music, and they're each talking like this. Everyone's a loyal, which works remarkably well.
It works really well, but what's hilarious is when they're doing that, but the people in the background aren't.
Right. Yeah, yeah. And the music is maybe sometimes saying okay, too. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a whole B plot where they're just exploring the drug connection there. But then, so at the end of them, so the aliens kidnap their, he lives in a trailer park, mm-hmm. and the guy who runs a trailer park was helping investigate the neighbors who were the alien, the humans turned into aliens,
mm-hmm.
who were having some sort of orgy.
Yes.
Or something. And then they were trying to kidnap him, and then they drove off, and so then a bus full of seekers, which is what he calls his listeners,
mm-hmm.
show up
mm-hmm.
and tow him with their bus, tow his trailer, following them, because they're all going to the Great Hole
sure.
that the comet made.
Uh-huh.
And then at the end of the movie, everyone in the entire world apparently walked into the hole,
mm-hmm.
including the reporters who were on site,
mm-hmm.
and Cox, because he was towed there, was there recording everything, mm-hmm. and he's literally the last guy. And then aliens showed up.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, where is everyone? And he's like, well, they went into the big fucking hole. And they're like, oh, well, sucks to be them. See ya. See you in 1,000 years.
Is this the end of the world? Or what does he say?
He says, is this the end of the world? Or is it just the beginning?
No, it's the end.
And he walks away.
That's inappropriate. You picked a very appropriate album for this. And then
One of my favorite lines, by the way,
uh-huh.
Watching that, is there the reporters are sitting on site, for Rebus Kanibus' jump into the hole.
And
one of the reporters is saying, I just don't understand this cave thing. And the other reporter's like, well, it's just like a hole, but on its side. Yeah. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Is that what he didn't get? Like, just what is a cave?
What is a cave? it's so good. I'm looking at this. I will tell you, I just revisited all of Futurama.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, holy shit, I'm going to have to ask, because I know a bunch of people who wrote for Futurama, and I'm going to have to be like, is this a point of reference at all? Because there are some bits and pieces, a lot of it, like the aliens being Native Americans, because the aliens on Mars are Native American based in Futurama. This just feels like it had to have influenced Futurama in some way. And I know Matt Groening is a Fire Sign fan, but I wonder if like the writers that I can get a hold of are at all Fire Sign fans, because it just feels very... Also, I feel like I should point out, if you want to talk about their influences on you, we did a project called Rubber Chicken Knuckles, which is mostly you just making fake album covers. And, I mean, this feels an awful lot like a
few albums you made. I'm sure I was definitely influenced by that, because that cover is very much in my memory.
That's so good. It's just a very... it's a very typical 50s UFO movie cover. With also very weird headshots of the four of them, sort of in character, I guess, very weirdly in character. they're just a bunch of goof asses. Although I will say Phil Proctor is looking as normal as he possibly can, which is pretty normal. He's deceptively normal looking. Also on the back of this record, most of their albums are on. There's a stack of a thing of records that you could purchase. Yeah. Including one that is mentioned called Gas Music from Jupiter, which I do feel like somebody should make. If nobody's made Gas Music from Jupiter, you need to do it.
That's what there's a bit where like the aliens are talking. Mm-hmm. That is Gas Music from Jupiter.
So
you have kind of a feel for what style.
Yeah, I want the full thing. The full thing needs to be released. So if Bill's not going to do it, you know, somebody else out there should do it. What do you think these specific influences were on you? Can you feel what those are, or is it just, what do you think? Because
it's definitely driven my appreciation of surrealist humor. I think it's heavily driven me. I think I enjoy long form.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's like things like mockumentaries and stuff. I think,
yeah,
some people get bored of those, and I really like them. And I'm wondering if part of that is because of things like this, that it's a long walk for some of these jokes.
Yeah.
And
I'm realizing more and more albums that I am falling into liking, or just remembering, like, oh, I like this. Yeah, a lot of them are very meta, and know their albums. This thinks it's a radio show, but that's close enough. And also a lot of them are mockumentary style, and I don't know why that is. I don't know if it's because the conceit is this is real and somehow that's different. Somehow that makes the fantasy element different. I'm not sure why. Cause you're supposed to, you know, conceivably all fiction, there's supposed to be a level of, you're just supposed to buy into it.
Yeah.
There's a phrase for it. My brain is totally fried from this week, but it's only Tuesday. But I feel like somehow maybe the mockumentary element of it is just saying, oh, no, this is real. This is real. Enjoy. Maybe.
But
I don't know.
Maybe the start of it, too, where he's being, you know, he's talking about things. He's obviously what people would consider a crackpot.
Mm-hmm.
So when you start, the surrealist shit he's saying, the stuff that doesn't make sense,
mm-hmm.
works for you because you're like, well, obviously this guy's crazy, so
sure.
What he's saying sounds dumb.
Mm-hmm.
But as this album goes on, as it progresses, you learn, oh no, it is real. But it's mm-hmm. it's a slow enough burn that it just brings you into it.
Yeah, we should do the podcast version, but instead of that, it's Joe Rogan.
Oh Jesus! I do have to. I think also sometimes I think the names
mm-hmm.
used to influence me.
Okay, I can see that.
Like there's so you got Rebus Kanibus, but you got like Buzz Crumhunger, Magog,
mm-hmm.
Sheriff Luger Axe Handle, The landlord's name was Art Holflaffer. Like,
on their limb face, dumb.
Limb Asholer.
Yes,
Goatheart.
Ray Ambergere. very dumb. Harold Hiphugger. Come on. How do you not like these names? Yeah, I feel like I've been influenced by this without having heard it, though.
Yeah,
like this,
and
this
is... his whole thing is Nude Age.
Uh-huh.
And at the time, I didn't know what New Age was, but I appreciate the name of it, because he's also has established that he lives on in a nudist trailer park.
Nudist trailer park. Both of the worst nudist colony and the worst trailer park combined.
Yeah. Yep.
Nobody needs to live there. So is this something you listened to a lot as a kid, or just the once? Like
I don't think it was just the once, but I did listen to it again a couple times when I was young teens.
Mm-hmm.
Probably when we were just starting doing what we were doing. I know I was living in that room in Lawrence when I listened to it at least once.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you have the other one? Did you have How Can You Be in Two Places at Once When You're Not Anywhere at All? Did you have that one? Because
at some point down the road, I had ended up with Waiting for the Electrician or someone like him.
Uh-huh. What the fuck? Then why do I remember that cover from and associate it with you? Why is that?
What was it called again?
It's just look up All Hail Marx and Lenin, but Lennon, because
oh,
that's
I think
the
I have cover. That one. Yeah.
Yeah, that one I feel like you had. And if we didn't listen to that one, that's what I always associated with you and Firesign. And I'm like, I don't think I get these guys. I don't understand it.
Yeah, I don't remember that one. Maybe Dad found that at some point.
Maybe.
But I never listened to it.
So it's more likely you would have tried to make me listen to Everything You Know Is Wrong. And I must have just been like, no attention span would be my guess. I don't think
probably.
I would have had the attention span for this. That's why Python worked, because it was like,
shorter bites.
Let's talk about a sketch. We talk about the fact that it is a sketch. Let's go to a new one. And yeah, I mean, congratulations on having the patience and to finally to get it. Like, I did not have the patience to listen to anything. Also, we should point out there's another connection here to Weird Al, because Weird Al's a huge Firesign fan and named one of his better songs after this album. So, Everything You Know Is Wrong is a great... is that on Bad Hair Day? Am I remembering that correctly? I feel like it is. It could be wrong. I don't know. Bad Hair Day. There we go. That's
I don't know. I've got them all on my computer now, so I just listen to them in whatever order I want to. So I've
fair.
Completely, unless they were
forgotten
some of the earliest ones, I've kind of lost the order of operations there.
Apparently, Chumbawamba used the title for a song about conspiracy theories on their 2004 album Un. I don't know.
Interesting.
Yes. Chumbawamba. Also, they were around in 2004 still? That's also interesting.
But I mean, for them to use it in that context,
uh-huh.
That means they've listened to
Firesign
Theater.
One would assume so, right? Because, in that context.
That's that very specific context.
Oh, my God. Does that mean I'm going to have to try and get the
You need to talk to whoever did that.
Oh, my God. All right.
Did they write the song, or did someone else write it and they perform it?
Well, that's a good question. Everything You Know Is Wrong is track 4.
Guys, you're getting to experience Jay realizing he needs a guest he never thought he needed. This is...
I mean, I have moved past my 18-year-old love of Chumbawamba. Now, by the way, I will say that album is not terrible on re-listen, the first one, the one that I had, the one that they insisted people should steal from people because they were anarchists, supposedly. Supposedly they were anarchists, and that was their thing. Wait. Weirdly, they also have a song called On eBay. Now, I will bet it's not the same as the song eBay by Weird Al, but it is very weird that around the same time.
Huh.
What is going on, Chumbawamba? Damn it. I'm going to have to talk to the lead something of Chumbawamba now, right?
I guess so.
Oh, man. I will... Chumbawamba. Holy cow. That's... All right, guys. Well, yeah, as Dan said, you heard it here first.
Yeah, you just heard someone's brain kind of bubble a little bit right
Yeah,
there.
That's absolutely the
case. He's going to go down this rabbit hole now when we're done here.
Yep.
Because he's got to figure out, okay, who actually wrote this song?
Yeah, because, by the way, there's like 12 people in the band, so good luck figuring that out.
Yeah, and a lot of bands will actually get music from a third party.
Yeah, that's
also
So they're
true. Just like, this, you know, this fits our style.
Mm-hmm.
But they, it wasn't their thing. They're not the ones.
Right.
So then you have to figure out who is this potential ghost writer.
Right. That would be so funny.
And why were you influenced by this?
Did you
want to try to get this out in the world?
I think we talked about this before we started recording officially, but Tom York of Radiohead is a confessed fan of the Firesign Theater. I'm probably not supposed to, well, probably not my story to tell about how I know that, but regardless, he's a fan of the Firesign Theater. Tom York, you're welcome to come on anytime and talk about Firesign Theater.
There you go.
With me and with Dan. Do you want to be on that episode with Tom York of Radiohead, of Creep?
Sure.
Okay.
I've listened to a song or two of theirs.
Sure. Just listen to OK Computer, which is at least, you know, that's a reference to Douglas Adams. So you can give that a listen.
Is that the one that they released for free online?
No, that was, I think, In Rainbows, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. Why do I
remember
know that?
Downloading
I'm
that
not a giant. Out. I'm not a giant Radiohead fan. They're fine, but I'm not.
He's not. EJ's not a Radiohead.
I'm not a Radiohead. That's correct.
Or would that be a Radiohead head?
Radiohead. I don't know. That's a good question. would you? Now, you and I make a comedy albums together. Would you ever consider? Because I remember there's a period of time in our lives when I was like, you would be really, because you introduced me to Pink Floyd too. And I was like, I'm not going to like Pink Floyd. And then I'm like, no, I kind of like Pink Floyd. And I'm not as
which
massive.
Which does kind of a similar thing.
Exactly. And I'm like, we should do a comedy album that's like that. And you, at no point were you like, I've already played you something like that. And it's Firesign Theater. At no point did you, now it could just be, Jason's got another idea for a project and I'm exhausted.
No, I'll be honest. Probably at that point, I probably would have forgotten.
Like the larger picture of it. Okay, that makes sense. Well, should we do that at some point is what I'm saying. Basically, steal Firesign is what I'm
Absolutely.
Saying.
Absolutely.
Okay, steal their style. That's cool. We can probably get Phil Proctor to do a voice on it. Why not? You know, I also like that.
We should just bring back Harry Cox and do something new.
Oh my God! If only he were still with us. That he's one of the two who has passed away, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But such a dumb name, Harry Cox. They're children. They're absolutely. Which also, there's another thing. They are very good at voices, but there are times when they are not even trying.
They're not even trying. They're not trying.
Oh, hello. Yes. Oh, well, that's great. Uh-huh. And by the way, I still can't
by
tell
By the way,
voices
I'm a different
apart.
Character now.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, and I love it. It works.
I will introduce myself so that you're aware I'm different.
It's not Bob's Burgers level of I'm going to come on and play seven characters with the same voice, but it is, you know, it approaches that at certain periods. But it works. And I think maybe it's the energy. I don't know.
Yeah. I think you have to go with it because they don't give you time to think about it.
Right? I mean, that's a huge part. It's the same with, like, I think it's the same reason that sucks so many people into memorizing them because they're like, I just missed 10 things. So I have to keep going back if I want to get all of it.
Yeah.
And therefore, I'm going to memorize it.
You're
going to
pick up things that you didn't pick up before.
Mm-hmm. There are times when two different sketches are going on. One in your left ear, one in your right ear. And that is... to me, like, almost unconscionable comedy-wise. I'm like, you can't do that. But then I'm like, oh, I love that you're doing this.
Yeah, like,
so
there's
much.
There's that whole bit right after the Benjamin Franklin Founding Fathers hophead thing.
So stupid.
Where they explore the world where it's like, what did they call it? It's a type of play. But, you know, like a vaudeville type thing, but not really. And that's... that was going on, and it was about the South, and he's like, the South won the war. I bet you didn't know that. And so the whole time, there's like this hilarious like play going on in the background, and he keeps interjecting as a historian and knowledgeable person. Now, see, here's where blah, 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 and see, here's where blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And you're like, just shut the fuck up. This is entertaining. But what he's saying is also entertaining because it's like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, what? 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 What?
You know what's funny is that is actually the first thing I knew off of this album is that whole play. And out of context, it is the most offensive thing on the planet.
It really is.
I will tell you. And also in the film, incredibly offensive. But it is not, that is not the point. The point is not, haha, isn't it funny that they're doing black man voice? There's a lot more going on. But
and they
yeah.
keep changing, that he, and I know they did it on purpose, he morphs the accent.
Yes. Yeah, yeah,
to
yeah.
To be different, very strong, stereotypical voices.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And I think he does that on purpose.
For sure, yeah.
To show how dumb it is.
Is that the sketch where he's fast forwarding, or is that a totally different sketch?
Yeah, he keeps fast forwarding because he's got because the Native Americans had wire recording, and that's what that's recorded on.
That's right. Yeah, they invented the wire recorder. I had forgotten that. That's so good. Oh man!
And in the movie, it's barbed wire, just curled up barbed wire.
It's such a dumb joke. Absolute idiots! It's so stupid. Oh, but do you think it helped you process it, having something to watch along with it though?
It did. That's why I was about 10 minutes in when I found the movie, and I'm like, okay, you know what? Let me watch this, cuz visuals help. It also cuz I'm the kind of person, when I'm listening to something, I always end up having to do something else.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And for some things that's fine, but for this fireside? I need to focus.
Nope.
And I have a hard time with that sometimes.
Same.
So movie, okay, I can focus, I can kind of understand what they're doing more, context helps me understand some of the bits that are harder to understand because they're purposely talking fast or quieter in the background. And they use a lot of sound effects, which is great, but then you know, it's like having a lot of sound effects. So when you've got crowd scenes, they're purposely making it sound like you're in the middle of a crowd. And it's hard to understand sometimes the main person talking, because they're trying to create that environment. But when it's audio only and you have focusing issues, that doesn't work great. So being able to see it helped.
I have the issue, like the first two times I assigned myself to listen to those albums to be like a dutiful comedy lover, the first time I did that, I got distracted, got something else, and realized I had heard 15% of the record and made sense of 15%. Second time, I'm like, no, I'm going to dedicate time, close my eyes, listen to headphones. Guess what happened? Fell asleep. I have concentration problems too. So I feel like maybe watching it would have helped. Although the one person who I've spoken with who has the most, as far as I'm concerned, the most pure experience with Firesign is a blind guy. Like he's just, he's like, that's all. All I can do, you know, is picture it, and that's a very pure experience to have.
And the thing is, like, they set great scenes.
Oh yeah,
the way they interact is very natural. Which is why I can see why you're like, how can that not be improv? Because it's such a natural conversational piece. When they do talk over each other, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. It's not just talking over for the sake of talking over.
Right.
But it also doesn't feel like interrupting. So that's why I can be like, well, it could be scripted, because
sure. Yeah.
That's the only
problem.
It doesn't pull you out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Immersion is the word that Jay was looking for.
Thank you very much. That is the word I was looking for. And the other point to make is that while they did improvise, they did what a lot of other people did, was just improvise right based on off of the improv, back and forth. And if you've practiced and played a sketch a billion times, it's going to come out natural.
Yeah.
You know. So
that's the thing, is that it's probably improvisationally written. I mean, that's how a lot of things are done. That's how SNL sketches come about. They're written, but they don't sit down and say, okay, I'm just going to write these words down. Mm-hmm. Usually they're just sitting in a room together doing stupid shit until something sticks in their mind. They play it out, they try things, and then eventually it ends up on paper and either works or doesn't.
There are just a couple points in this where either it's that funny or one of them did something new where the other one is clearly laughing. Mm-hmm. Those are the bits where I'm like, maybe I would have
a hard time believing that they don't throw things in or change things up
just to fuck with each other. I know they did that a lot. So, you know, come on. Four dudes who are all of roughly the same mindset. That's the other thing, too, that I don't think I've ever talked with Phil about, is how do four dudes come together to make this? Because this is, for all its weirdness, cohesive.
It is. It's very cohesive.
A singular thing.
It actually does tell a story.
Yeah.
When you ask me, Dan, tell me what this album is about, yeah, I can give you a 2-paragraph summary of what the purpose of this album was and what the overarching story was. What's the A plot? I can tell you that.
Yeah. Because it's very clear. It is done in a way that is typical of them. It involves radio. So much of their stuff involves or parodies or plays with radio.
Yeah. The wiki actually points out a lot of the pop culture things that their characters are referencing or mocking.
Oh, okay. I also noticed very quickly the DP for this, the cinematographer for the thing you watched, for the film you watched, later was the cinematographer for E.T. That's kind of mind-blowing to me. And now I've got somebody else to interview. The lead singer of Chumbawamba and, he just passed away, son of a bitch. The cinematographer just died. Well, R.I.P., you're a genius. 5 Academy Award nominations.
That was really well done cinematography in that, too.
It looks great. Yeah, it's beautiful.
That's why when I first started watching it, I didn't know they had made a movie of it.
Yeah.
I couldn't figure out if this was, and it was obviously young people trying to look like old people. So I'm like, is this like a more modern thing that someone an art project or whatever? But the further I got into it, I'm like, this is too well done. but I'm like, if this is obviously just the record laid over the video.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wouldn't they just record the audio again? But then again, that's a lot. That was building that album was a lot of work.
Yeah. I mean, you save a lot of money doing something without sound. I mean, especially back then.
Yeah. So as I got into it more and I'm like, no, this is definitely higher quality and it actually feels of the era. So that's when I looked it up and went, oh, shit, this is legit. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wait. So I scrolled to the end and found the credits. I'm like, oh, yeah, there we go.
There we are.
Like, it is presented by Firesign Theater. This is a legit movie with them in it.
Changes.
They were just young back then.
Like. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This is one of the ones that was released on a quadraphonic LP, by the way. I have had somebody, I haven't had the time to review and talk to them, but they're like, do you want to listen to it? Well, I don't have a quadraphonic stereo to listen to it on, but they did do this in 4-channel front.
Do they have an, because if they have something with surround sound, my headphones are surround sound. I could totally hear it in quadraphonic.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. I mean, I have to ask Taylor if they ever I feel like. No, I think what happened is, no, they did not remaster any of those for digital, which, I mean, you could buy them, but you'd have
to. If he gives me each track, I could build my own.
That's also true. You know what, Taylor, if you're listening.
I want to hear it in its purest form.
Sure. No, that's absolutely fair.
And that makes a lot of sense,
mm-hmm.
Actually, when you think about it, because with quadraphonic, you'd have the two voices in the front and you'd have the sounds and stuff in the back.
Jesus Christ.
And it would actually be clearer. You'd probably understand what's going on better because you're hearing it in different locations.
It'd also be easier for you probably mentally to separate the two if you're like, I'll just try and listen to the background stuff for a second because it is physically separate.
Well, when something's behind you, we've evolved to pay attention to who's talking.
That's true. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Whereas with stereo, they're mixed together, and you have it's harder for you to separate them. But if you had front and back,
mm-hmm.
it would be very different.
Well, then, so what we've determined is, Dan, your My Next Album needs to be based on improv. Actually, I don't hate that idea. After the one that we're cutting together now, I don't hate that idea. But it should be octophonic.
Octophonic.
Eight speakers. The center speaker will be there as well, but it'll just have a low hum that's really annoying. That's what I want to have in it. I'm going to see if anybody notices and reports it. Oh, no, that's supposed to be there.
That's by design.
Don't you see the note in very small text? Unhook your center speaker for maximum listening experience. Holy shit. I mean, this was fun. I'm going to have to re-listen because
the hum. Oh, my. Sorry.
Yes.
The hum is actually us just saying, please unplug your center channel stretched out to the length of the album.
I don't hate that idea. that's so good. Guys, you're getting a peek behind the curtain that you did not expect to get.
Or want.
You know, I normally ask people, what's your favorite track? But there are not tracks on this album. Sorry, there are no tracks.
But what I will say is my quote-unquote favorite track is probably Bear Whiz Beer, because I remember it from being a small child.
That's fair.
But you're right. This is a trackless album.
Yeah, I double checked just to make sure that physically there are none, but it does not list any.
It says that right there on the wiki. This album does not have tracks.
Okay. It's great. The Mac is also great. What the hell is David wearing? That is an insane suit. I'd like to know if he still has it. I will bet when I went with Taylor to the archive that there may be one or two of these costume pieces sitting in there somewhere.
Probably.
Library of Congress would have them now because they gave everything over to the Library of Congress. So hard to say, but there you are. Dan.
Yeah. Taylor,
thank you for coming back.
Yeah.
Talk to you in 5 minutes. But but tell people in a couple sentences why to listen to this album. By the way, this is your first time on the show, I think, in its current form, really. The last time you were on, I don't think
it was a weirder
show then.
Well, we didn't know what we were doing. We're just saying, hey, this is funny. We have to be over the top funny too. And then it's like, no, you know what? Maybe not.
Yeah. Yeah. So tell people in a couple sentences why to listen to this record. Let's say they don't know Fire Sign at all, which is there's a good chance of that.
I would say that they should listen to it because it's sort of an early form of a lot of comedic mockumentary type things.
Mm-hmm.
So if you enjoy things like The Office or Parks and Rec, mm-hmm. you can probably trace its roots back to Fire Sign.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. It's good. I would, at some point, I'm realizing in my video series, I'm going to have to start like the five mockumentary records that are out there, because there are a bunch. There are more than I sort of realized. The Ruddles almost counts. It is the soundtrack to a mockumentary, so I will. Mm-hmm. I'm going to count that. Dan, this is going to come out in a few weeks, but why don't you tell people where they can find you and what do you have to promote?
Well, if you live in Boise, you can... No.
No, don't do that. Don't hunt Dan down.
Don't dox me. I'm not going to self-dox. You can listen to Of Dice and Dens, which is a Dungeons & Dragons playing podcast where I am the DM. Jay plays a time-traveling cowboy, and we go on adventures. And we also have a sister podcast called OD&D Presents, where we've got an ongoing cowboy-based role-playing game as well as some miscellaneous stuff. And perhaps by the time this releases, we'll have a Kids on Bikes adventure that we've been putting together for Jason's birthday in July. and that's a game where it's basically like Stranger Things or E.T. or those kinds of movies.
Yeah.
And that's OD&D, odndpodcast.com. I should tell you where to actually find it.
Was the director of photography on everything.
Yes.
In case you guys are curious. There's another connection is all I'm saying. You know.
Yeah.
Well, everybody, you know, I've got other podcasts. Listen to The Professional Blur or Dispatches from Fort Awesome. Dispatches from Fort Awesome is coming to an end in terms of a weekly episodes. We're going to be doing bits and pieces, including one with Dan. Dan has not done that podcast yet. We'll be doing like monthly or biweekly or whenever we feel like it for a little while. And The Professional Blur is a podcast about extra work, which you might enjoy. And the end of season 2 is coming up, which may or may not be the final season. Depends on my patience for it. But, you know, I really like doing it, but it's harder to schedule than other shows. Anywho, there's just one thing left to say, and that is have a good thing. Comedy on Vinyl is a production of Stolen Dress Entertainment. It is produced by Mike Warden and is hosted and edited by Jason Klom. Our theme song was composed and performed by Richard Levinson. You can email us at podcast@comedyonvinyl.com. You can also send snail mail to Stolen Dress Entertainment, P.O. Box 805, Burbank, California, 91503. Subscribe to Comedy on Vinyl on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and anywhere else you can find podcasts. Give us a 5-star rating and write us a review. It helps. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Comedy on Vinyl, or find everything in one place at comedyonvinyl.com. A major portion of Comedy on Vinyl has been underwritten by Stand Up Records. Please visit standuprecords.com for all your comedy needs and tune in to the new Stand Up Records channel available on the Roku, where you can also find select episodes of this podcast. Visit stolendress.com to listen to our other podcasts, watch videos, and imbibe freely of our multimedia content going back 15 plus years. Dress Entertainment.
Hey, it's my turn. Ah!